Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
Welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners. However you've decided to spend the hour with us, we are very, very glad to have you. In terms of, wouldn't it be great to know in this world where things are going up, sometimes going down, just in terms of having some guidance, trying to figure out which way to go, where there are so many options, we're kind of inundated with information at all times, and especially when it comes to our love, our relationships, and our sexuality. I think it'd be a really absolutely amazing thing to have that guidance. And I'm very excited because I've got a really special guest on tonight. And she is absolutely brilliant, and she does something absolutely lovely called Vedic astrology. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about that on tonight's show. And if you aren't sure who my guest is, she is an amazing, amazing lady. She is one of the first contemporary Vedic astrologers in North America, and she's here fulfilling her vision of incorporating the sacred ancient wisdom in a normal practice in the Western world. And she sits on the board of directors on the American Council of Vedic Astrologers and has received honorary degrees from the Indian Council of Astrological Sciences. And I'm very excited to have the wonderful Patty on the show. Patty, welcome.
Thank you, Caroline. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm excited to be here.
It's very exciting to have you here.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about what the differences are in regards to like Vedic Chinese astrology, what we conceive of as Western astrology.
Well, sorry?
And what we perceive of as Western, just in terms of perhaps some of the basic differences between the different ones.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Western astrology comes from Greece, and there was a cultural revolution or artistic revolution going on in Greece about 2013 years ago that was not unlike what's happening today. Information from the far lands and ancient cultures hit Greece, and everybody was twisting, learning, and twisting it to their own way and creating new ways of doing things, similar to what we're seeing in yoga in Vancouver today. But astrology originates in the oldest source of knowledge on the planet in northern India called the Vedas, and it originates in Sanskrit. And it was an oral tradition. Sanskrit was not a written tradition. It was an oral tradition. So it traveled out of what was northern India, or what is northern India today, and across the lands, and eventually ended up in Greece. And Julius Caesar created a calendar called the Julian calendar, which the world is following today. And when he started the calendar, he had the astronomy correct, because astrology is a language based on pure astronomy and pure math. What his calendar maker didn't know is that there is something called the precession of the equinoxes. And this is what the Mayans were celebrating, this 26,000-year cycle culminates. Okay. And so he forgot to put that in. So now we have a calendar, and the whole world is following it, and it's actually not an accurate calendar.
That makes so much sense to me. I'm actually a cusp girl, and it's to the point growing up using Western astrology, I never really understood and kind of would read the paper where sometimes I was a Scorpio, other times I was a Sagittarius, depending on who the astrologer was. And so I don't know if that would have anything to do with just in terms of that by not having things in there or not.
Well, the separation now, because because this calendar started off in an accurate place, but 2013, years later, it's now approximately 24 degrees out of sync of what's called sidereal time or true star time, which is what the Vedic astrology or the original astrology was based on. Wow. So if you're on the cusp, you're going to subtract 24 degrees. Wherever you are, you're going to subtract 24 degrees. Hmm. And since there's only 30 degrees in a sign, we're almost a full sign out. So if you were on the cusp, then you're going to go back to the sign before for your sun sign. So what are you on the cusp of?
Between Scorpio and Sagittarius.
Okay, so that makes you a Scorpio.
Okay. It's good to know. I've wondered that all my life, so thank you.
A lot of people have a really hard time adjusting because they've grown up with this Western idea of what their astrology is. And then when they have to switch, it can be difficult. But, you know, even me, I was a Western astrologer for 10 years. My first diploma is from England, and I practiced Western astrology for 10 years until I started really getting serious about yoga and had some time to go back into my studies and went into the Vedic studies, of course, because of my love for yoga and Ayurveda, and discovered that even I had it wrong. I actually went back to school and got a degree after 10 years in Western.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. In my mid-40s, I went back to school.
Congratulations for doing that. That's huge. And in terms of that, that's a massive shift in terms of your life. How has, what are the, obviously it's been a beautiful and wonderful thing to do. And in terms of bringing this to North America, what does that look like? And what is your vision, say 20 years from now, in regards to, as we start to understand and embrace Vedic astrology as a society?
Beautiful question. You know, I have a little bit of taste because I'm one of the first RMTs in Canada, and definitely one of the first RMTs in British Columbia. I went to the first massage therapy school in Canada. And so if you look at where massage was in 1980 compared to where it is now, in 20 years, you can see the shift. People woke up, and it went from being massage parlors and related to sexuality. And now it's common day practice for people to go to their massage therapist.
That's so true. That, and that's a great analogy in regards to just the shifts as things move.
And plus, yoga is the fastest growing activity in North America. And yoga falls under the division of Ayurveda in the Vedas. And as people practice yoga, eventually they're going to want to go delve deeper into the rest of the wisdom. And this is where the Jyotisha, which means the science of light, or the astrology, lives.
Thank you. I was wondering how to pronounce that word.
Jyotisha. Jyotisha means light. Jyotisha means the science of light.
Oh, that's beautiful. Jyotisha, the science of light.
Beautiful word. And it's a combination of the Sanskrit words argola and ganita. It's astronomy and mathematics. And in the ancient times, this enlightened race that lived and gave us the Vedas, they didn't even have computers. They didn't have books. They did this in their head. It's mind-boggling. Nowadays, we have computers. I can press a button, and it can spit out, you know, 4 or 5 pages of calculations. That I would have had to do 20 years ago. When I got my Western degree, I had to learn it by hand, how to do it by hand, and that's no small task.
I can't imagine. That would be a lot.
No, me neither anymore. I don't. Who knows how to count anymore, even?
In terms of as we start to shift as on a societal level, how is that going to affect us on a smaller level in regards to as an individual, as well as in our relationships, and especially in regards to our sexuality and our romantic partners that we choose?
Now, that's a really, really great question again. You know, we're living in a change of ages.
Okay.
Approximately every 2,200 years, we have an age. and we're coming out of the Aquarian Age. We'll be around 2060 and going into the Aquarian Age, out of the Piscean Age and into the Aquarian Age. And so energetically, this is a paradigm shift. Mm. And relationships are shifting. We can see it at a massive rate.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe we're coming back to a more tribal state.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And as far as how is astrology going to help?
Mm-hmm.
Well, astrology helps individuals understand themselves.
Mm.
And if you can really get in touch with who you are and then express your own authenticity and know where your weaknesses are and know where your strengths are and be honest about that, it can help you in relationships.
That makes perfect sense, because it starts with knowing yourself, because if you don't know yourself, how do you know what you want? And if you don't know what you want, you may not be able to see it when it's right in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sexuality is an interesting discussion right now, because we're living in a world where we no longer need to make babies. We don't have to procreate. So
mm-hmm.
sexuality is becoming almost a hobby. You know, it's not mm-hmm. a necessity. We don't have to have 10 kids to keep the farm going. So it's becoming a pastime and a hobby, and I don't think I see that going away. So what I'd like to bring is this twist that the Vedas bring, where everything's linked to God, everything's linked to divinity,
mm-hmm.
everything's linked to the higher level of bliss. And sexuality is not what it used to. It's bisexuality, homosexuality. Nobody cares anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. Love is love. I think I see that probably as the fundamental shift that's occurring.
And I like the fact that love is love, where people are moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the last couple of years, I would say I've had more people in front of me that say, I want to be in love. I really don't care if it's a man or a woman. I just really want to be in love. And that's different. That's a different paradigm than in recent past.
That's good to know in regards to just the world shifting on that level, and especially just this last week, we actually talked about homophobia day as well, just in regards to just ending homophobia, and just in terms of a lot of the shifts, even on a political level as well in the States, where people can get married and the definition of marriage is evolving as well. So that's exciting that people are open on that and just want to be loved and be connected.
Exactly. So when you look into your chart, there's a lot of information there around sexuality. And I always say that I'm helping people get into relationships or out of relationships on an ongoing basis. And I think the other paradigm shift that we're at is that I think that people are not in that airy-fairy world where we think that we have to be with one person for our whole life. That's an ideal, and that's certainly an ideal that we all love to have when
mm-hmm.
we fall in love. But if we look out there into the world, it's not the general case.
No, it's not. And it's funny, I think you read my mind, because my question was going to be, is there such thing as where you fall in love and you stay with somebody for the rest of your life? And I was actually thinking it before you said that out loud.
Uh-huh. You know, it's an ideal, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I certainly have that ideal, but I have not been able to live it. And if we look out into the general population, it's not common. And that even if we look to the ancient Vedas, to the gods and the goddesses, Ganesha and Shiva and the various Hindu Vedic gods, they had consorts and divorces and children with different people, and that looked like a normal paradigm for the human condition.
Hmm.
I don't think we need to feel guilty about it. I think that's coming more into the open as a normal way of being.
I think what I'm thinking, and I'm going to go full circle here in regards to 20 years from now and embracing Vedic on a North American level and hopefully on a global level where it's more commonplace, that perhaps that might help the massive shift, so there's not so much shame like around that's almost sexuality is almost enshrouded in shame on so many different levels. And if that lifts where we can actually lift to bliss, I think that'd be a really beautiful thing on so many levels. There'd be a lot of healing, less abuse, more joy, more empowerment.
I don't think the younger generation has that. I think the older generation is living with that. But I don't feel that the younger generation has that so much. In fact, you know, the pendulum always swings, and they're swinging to the opposite end at the moment. But I don't know that they're feeling high levels of guilt that maybe my generation would have felt.
That's good to know, because I've wondered about that just on a global level. And when we say younger generation, are we talking about like Gen Ys or our millennials or more like children at this stage?
I'm not sure millennials is a new term for me, but I would say 35 and under. And I would say, you know, most of my clients and students are 35 and under. I'm generally not working with a population older than 40. It's the ones that are so awake. And if you go to the yoga studios, you find that most of the people in the yoga studios are under 35. Also female.
One of the things you mentioned at the top of the show was just in regards to the yoga culture in Vancouver, and you mentioned it. What are your thoughts in regards to that? Are we more open, or are we bending what yoga traditionally should be?
Oh, wow. I think Vancouver's leading the way in the world. And I've practiced yoga all over the world. And I'm really proud of Vancouver. I love coming back here and going to yoga classes. We are so leading the way. And the whole culture, if you walk around downtown Vancouver, you can feel the yoga culture that exists here.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fabulous.
I think it's fabulous as well. In regards to the word bliss that you used earlier, in regards to our sexuality, one of the words that gets brought up a lot is Tantra. And I was wondering in regards to Vedic astrology, if that's what you mean by bliss and what your definition of that would be.
Okay, that's another good question. So this ancient body of knowledge that was left by a group of people that eventually morphed into the Hindu religion, it was never initially a religion. It contained what we called Vedangas, limbs of the Vedas, and they all wove together. And Tantra is one of these limbs. Tantra is the use of energy for both good and bad. And the sexual energy, if anyone's familiar with Mantak Chia, he's one of my favorite current modern day tantric masters, we have a kundalini. We have a pilot light at the base chakra. Mm-hmm. And that goes up the spine. And in enlightenment, illuminates the brain. Mm-hmm. But there's various levels below that, which are basically orgasm and various forms of orgasm. So orgasm is like a form of enlightenment. It's a stepping stone towards enlightenment. Mm-hmm. And you could say, if you wanted to, that enlightenment is the ultimate orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
And Tantra is the study of the use of energy. Okay. So we can learn to circulate the energy on our own, or we can learn to circulate it with another.
Mm-hmm.
So Tantra, I happen to think that Tantra is being very loosely thrown around in this culture and sometimes used as a vehicle to be able to bring sexuality into places where I don't think it really has a right. I think it's being abused a little bit, frankly. But at the same time, there's a level of awareness that's starting to pervade North America. And but if one wants to call themselves a tantrika, they should do well to actually study deeply what Tantra is.
Mm-hmm.
And sexuality is a beautiful thing, but at its core root, it's a vehicle for enlightenment and bliss. And enlightenment is by definition blissful.
Mm-hmm. That makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I was going to ask you is, you describe yourself as a neo-Vedic astrologer.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
what is, in terms of neo, I always believe that means new. And mm-hmm. and in terms of that, how is what you do different than in terms of the knowledge that's been passed on from generation to generation in terms of how you're sharing it? Is that, like, what mm-hmm. what makes it new, I guess, is that what I'm trying to ask, not so eloquently.
Well, because I'm a normal North American, I first went into Western astrology. It didn't even occur to me. I didn't even know about Eastern astrology. So I just studied Western astrology.
Hmm.
And after 10 years as a Western astrologer, I started to get into yoga and got seriously into yoga. And as I got into yoga and started to embrace the yoga information, this culture, I started to learn about Ayurveda, and then I found out that the source of astrology was actually in the Vedas. And that was the biggest aha moment of my life. I can't even believe. Can you imagine doing a profession for 10 years and then finding out that you're kind of off course? It was the light bulb aha moment in a big way.
It's obviously shifted on so many wonderful levels. What would you say the three biggest ways that it's evolved you on a personal level, both professionally as well as on personal life?
Oh, wow. How's it evolved me on a professional level?
Mm-hmm.
It's totally shifted the way that I do astrology.
Hmm.
I would say that when I was a Western astrologer, there wasn't enough information, and I tried to become a psychoanalyst. And so I was left tired after readings. And I actually tried to become a psychologist, you know. Whereas when I shifted into the Vedic astrology, there was so much information there that it just became easy. It almost felt too easy.
Mm.
And because I no longer felt that I had to save the person or change the person, I was able to simply give them the interpretation of their chart, and they could do what they wanted. I think that's one.
Mm-hmm.
Second, on an individual level, my planets changed. So in the Western, I had a lot of Virgo, and then suddenly I had a lot of Leo.
Mm.
And I went from having a Pisces moon to an Aquarian moon. It's a fundamental shift. So I had to sort of get to know myself again. And it took me about 3 or 4 years to make that shift. It's not just an easy slam dunk for me that was a professional astrologer. Mm-hmm. I had to look at it and examine it and study it. And then I guess relationships. Having this tool for relationships is outstanding. To be able to look at the relationships of my lover or my child or my friend and have this tool for understanding, there's nothing else out there like it.
I want to hear more about that.
Yeah, I'm passionate about it, you know, because I don't get it. There's no other satisfaction that I get on a professional level more than helping somebody understand what their Vedic astrology chart is, helping them understand what they are. Because I come from a place now of believing that we have to develop our authenticity. I think that's our gift back to God. And if we can really embrace who we are as an individual, then we can express it sexually, which is our creative outlet, and we can be more successful in relationships.
What are some of the biggest questions you get about relational, besides people saying that they want to fall in love? One of the things you mentioned earlier is that either people are getting in or getting out of relationships when they come to see you, where they're almost at a time where they want transition. What are some of the big things that come up sometimes that are in terms of the cycle of relationships besides starting and ending?
Yeah, well, that's a big question. Relationships are everything in this world. Everybody talks to me about the fourth and fifth dimensions and the sixth dimensions, and I think that we're in the second dimension. I think that we're on this planet learning how to live in the second dimension. So, sorry about that.
What is that, just out of curiosity?
It's just somebody at the door. Hey, are you there?
Oh, me?
Yeah, come in.
Oh, we can take a
So I think relationships are the key to this world. I think that this is why we're here. I think that we're on this planet learning how to evolve through relationships. And sexuality and authenticity is key. But people are constantly getting in and out of relationships on an ongoing basis.
That's one question I have to ask. In regards to now, with everything just being so available, like say, for example, with social media, a friend of mine described online dating as being able to go online shopping in some ways, where sometimes it's really hard to maintain and try and work at a relationship because when sometimes it's just easier to go out and just go so you can get that amazing high that comes from the honeymoon period when you meet somebody and fall in love and get to, you know, just dive into that wonderful deliciousness as opposed to sometimes finding that just wonderful comfort and of that deeper love that sometimes comes from a healthy, longer-term relationship.
Yeah, well, I happen to think that online dating is a good thing.
Okay.
I'm not adverse to it because what's the alternative? I mean, how do we meet people? We went from a world even 50 years ago where you might only meet 100 people in your whole life and somebody in there had to be your husband and your wife. Now we're just inundated with choice. So it's part of our world. You know, think about what the internet's done. Before, we would go to the library when we wanted to learn something. We would look at a book. The new generation doesn't think that way at all. They have nothing but information at their fingertips. They have a totally different paradigm. So
how do we not get saturated?
But being able to have somebody's chart, for example, would help. It saves sometimes years.
Can you give me an example without breaking confidentiality of an example where having a chart helped shift where somebody wasn't stopped getting out of a habit maybe of dating the same person over and over and over again where they kept attracting that in their life?
I think that that falls under fixed planets when people have fixed planets. So some people have fixed planets. And fixed planets will cause you to do the same thing over and over and over again. So it can be hard to break a pattern.
Yes.
And then if you can look at your chart and understand that you've got fixed planets and that it's important to get out of unhealthy patterns, then, you know, you can be more objective about it.
What are the top three things that you hear when people first hear about Vedic astrology, when you meet them and they say, so what do you do?
In past years, they would just look at me with a blank look on their face. Nowadays, they're starting to say, cool. And mostly because I'm working with the yoga community. I work a lot with the people that do yoga, so they're sort of open. But I would often get, do you really believe it? Do you really believe what you're doing? And, of course, I'm not here to waste my time. And I've also studied with a lot of Indian masters. I've been interested in the study of spirituality my whole life, spirituality and metaphysics. So astrology is the compilation. It's considered the most complex of the Vedas. So nowadays it's cool. Nowadays people are interested, which I'm really excited about.
No, it's a huge shift. That's awesome. What do you think is next in regards to for yourself? Because I know you're speaking at the event tomorrow night. Did you want to share some information about that?
Well, tomorrow I'm going to be talking about the yugas. And if we go into this Vedic wisdom, again, which is such a sophisticated body of knowledge, it explains to us that we go through four cycles on this planet.
Okay.
And I believe we're in Kali Yuga right now, which is there's a lot of destruction, there's a lot of war, there's a lot of lies, there's a lot of disease. And I'm going to talk about understanding that and how to navigate in that world, and that, you know, when there's, since we're in this two-dimensional world, when there's a lot of darkness, there will also be a lot of light. So it seems bizarre on one hand how we're having so much enlightenment and that at the same time so much war and so much destruction and sadness. I'm thinking about the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico last year. Versus being in Vancouver where everybody seems to be enlightened. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big one to grasp. Sorry, I kind of forgotten the question. The three things.
Originally, I'd asked what the three things were, and also wanted to find. And then my last question was just in regards to for tomorrow night, just a little bit about the event, because you're going to be speaking tomorrow night at Alexina's event.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wanted to share some information just about it, and that, because that would be really lovely in case people want to meet you in person.
Yeah, so I'm going to discuss this age that we're in called Kali Yuga and how we can identify that we're in Kali Yuga and then how we can navigate around Kali Yuga and what we can look forward to going into the Aquarian age and how we can understand that we're living at the change of ages and what does that mean. And then there'll just be a general introduction to Vedic astrology and what is it and why does it work and how can it have a practical application to individual lives and relationships and loves and children.
Wow.
So I think that tomorrow is going to be a really interesting and great evening. I feel really honored that I can finally give these talks and that there's people that come. For many years, nobody was interested.
Oh.
And now we're heading into this generation and this era where they're interested.
No,
so that's really exciting for me. And it's an exciting talk. It's a really exciting topic because everybody's used to like going to the back of the Vancouver Sun or whatever and looking at their sun signs. Well, guess what? Generally, you're not even the sign that you think that you are. And so there's been so much misunderstanding and misinformation around astrology. So my mission for the rest of my life certainly is to expose the truth about astrology and then to offer it as a useful tool in people's journey of understanding themselves and being successful in relationships, sexual and otherwise.
I'm going to call a really quick short break, and when we come back, we're going to chat more. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
Okay, great. I'm going to...
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
will say B, Peru.
I'll do it.
And that's your final answer?
Yes.
You can buy a new car. You just want
$33,055.78.
To everyone who donated to this year's fund drive, CITR would like to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you to everyone who helped us meet and exceed our goal of $30,000. Your generous donations help us support local artists, businesses, and marginalized voices in the community.
And special thanks to our major sponsors of the Fund Drive Finale Silent Auction, The Cobalt at thecobalt.ca, Travel Cuts UBC at travelcuts.com, and Chad Woodley at the Sanitary Electric Company at tattoosbychad.com.
In workshops, garages, kitchen tables all around Metro Vancouver, people make stuff. Once a year, we gather to show off the stuff we make, to teach and to learn, from urban gardeners to quilters to robot makers. Hey, guys, I'm trying to make a promo.
Sorry.
Join us at Vancouver Mini Maker Faire, Saturday and Sunday, June 1st and 2nd at the PNE Forum. For more info and to buy tickets, visit vancouver.makerfaire.ca. That's Maker Faire with an E!
Tuesday, May 28th at Fortune Sound Club, it's the Sweatshop Union Infinite LP release party and live performance with guests Def 3, Ray Black, and Pigeonhole. To those working in banks and armed service ranks, to all the children born and raised in internment. Sweatshop Union are heavyweights of Northwestern hip-hop and have earned a reputation as the hardest-working collective in the region. Tickets on sale at High Life, Zulu, Dipped, Red Cat, and Beat Street. Sponsored by 101.9 FM, CITR.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
$1 billion on the ground, all stretched out and uncurled, would extend about four times around the circumference of the world.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the Main Street area at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Lucky's Comics, Neptune Records, RX Comics, Red Cat Records, the Regional Assembly of Text, Temple of the Modern Girl Boutique, the Wallflower Modern Diner, and Woo Vintage Clothing.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or online at citr.ca.
And we are back in Sexy and Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us, you've hopefully been listening in on our awesome conversation tonight. I've been talking to the lovely, the fantastic, the wonderful, wonderful Patty Moore, who is a Vedic astrologer, and she's going to be speaking tomorrow night, which is very, very, very exciting. And we've been talking about how Vedic astrology affects your sexuality, how it can benefit your relationships. And what's super cool is the fact that we're kind of at the foreground, I'd like to think, in terms of yoga culture around the world. And I like getting that endorsement from Patty herself. So, Patty, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Welcome. If you could close your eyes and wave a magic wand and basically bring all the abundance that Vedic astrology could bring, what would this world look like?
Oh, wow. It would look like my fantasy.
What does that look like?
So, meaning people would know who they are, embrace who they are with humility, embrace their strengths and their weaknesses, understand their karmas, be developing their strengths, and being really honest in relationships. So understanding that relationships are a ground for evolution and development, and that we live our karmas out through relationships. I mean, in my ideal world, everybody's peaceful and in love and in bliss and doing yoga and relaxing, not going to war, not worrying about how they can make more money than the next guy, and looking after their health. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much money you have, you're still going to look for that experience called bliss.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't actually buy it.
Even though we think we can sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think that in many ways we're going in that direction. There's no question. There's a lot of people waking up, and in many ways. And I happen to think that we're going to start to see a lot more successful relationships. But it doesn't have to be traditional. It's not a traditional line. And what we call traditional or normal is often a result of Hollywood, when movies started to come out. So now suddenly everybody thinks it's normal to live in a home in one bed with one person for the rest of your life and 2.5 kids and not interact. And that whole system's breaking down. Hmm. And if we go back into society, it doesn't work like that anyways. It never really has. This is fairly recent. And I think a lot of it has to do with the movie industry.
And things are shifting in the movie industry as well. So as things shift and we get closer to what your fantasy is, where that fantasy is no longer a fantasy but reality, what are some of the incremental steps, do you think, as a society that we need to do to move forward?
Something called meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And that the reason I say that is because we all have this fatty substance in our skull called a brain, and it rivals the greatest computers. It's highly misunderstood. We don't understand it. We don't really even understand who we are. We don't know where we came from. We don't understand who we are. But we do know. And we've been given these techniques from this ancient wisdom, that if we sit quietly and learn how to not think, that there's something magical happens. There's an alchemy that happens where we take over control of the brain rather than the brain controlling us. And that's a fundamental shift that causes peace. Because when we call it the monkey mind. When that brain is running the show, it's chaotic and confusing. And when we practice just sitting, even practicing sitting for 10 minutes a day, learning how to not think, eventually there's a process that happens where we the ones behind the brain, get to control the brain. Mm-hmm. I think if humanity could line up behind that would probably caused the biggest change. And if you look at all the thought leaders today, everybody's saying the same thing. And if you look at all the religious leaders in history, they're all saying the same thing. So essentially, it's slow down. What's the rush anyways? Why is everybody rushing?
I don't know if it's because of the fact we're almost, as you mentioned earlier, just that there's so many choices out there where I don't know if we rush because we're afraid we're going to miss it if we don't stop and choose wisely, that we just try and reach and grab as much as we can.
And yeah, there's another thing that I'd like to bring up, and that is this subject called time. So it's, if we look out into that galaxy and we think about time, we think about 10 minutes, 10 months, 10 years, 10,000 years. It's also relative, and our time on this planet is so short. We're so tiny, and it's so short. So rushing through life seems to be bizarre. And I think the focus should be more focusing on getting to know yourself and then developing that and then enjoying the process. There's a lot of beauty on this planet, and there's a lot of beauty in relationships. Now, we have a media. This is what I'll be talking about on Friday night too. There's a lot of media hype about the way that we're supposed to be, and with magazines, fashion magazines. I mean, I love fashion magazines, but they can give the wrong message to somebody that's not developed in their brain yet. They can cause more problems than they. Anything else.
And yeah, we hear a lot about the shifts in regards to that. And if we're going into relationships with, you know, just in regards to though our perceptions as to what we should be versus what we actually are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no wonder there's so much chaos in this world right now.
So I certainly invite your listeners to come and listen to the talk on Friday if they've got any interest in this.
I think they would love that very much. I'm just sharing it on our Sexy and Van City Facebook page as we speak. And I love how she described it, which is bringing more light into your life with you, with Vedic astrologer Patty Moore. And I'm trying to remember how to pronounce that beautiful word in Sanskrit, which you're mentioning means light at the beginning of the show.
Jyotisha.
Thank you. I was trying to visualize. I could see it in my head, and I'm like, okay, how do I pronounce this? I know I may possibly say it wrong. So, listeners, if you'd love to come see Patty speak, that would be fantastic. If you wanted to book a session with her directly, and Patty, for people, because as they're listening to you right now, I'm already getting texts from friends just saying, this is an awesome show, etc. If they want to reach for you, whether they want to book a reading, and just in a nutshell, because I know you've got different options in terms of everything from the 12 months of the course to a reading. So there's quite a variety of different types of information and connections and ways they can work with you. What's the best way to get a hold of you and connect?
Well, the best way is to go onto my blog, which is VedicAstrologyBlog.com, and you can email me through there or Facebook. And the first appointment is really important. So before anything else happens, there has to be a first appointment. And I always take an hour and a half for the first appointment because we both need to get really familiar with the chart, and it's like planting a seed, you know, you wait for the right time and then you drop it in and then it grows properly. So I really value that first reading. And then after people have their first reading, they can have shorter readings with me. But setting this information, we don't want to rush through it, and we want to make sure that you leave with a really good impression. The most important thing for me as an astrologer is that people leave empowered and leave on a positive note and empowered. With tools, practical tools, how to integrate this wisdom into their life. So the best way is just to email me. Like I told you, I'm kind of phasing out of telephones.
Did you want to share why on that one?
I don't know, because I'm on the internet so much. I don't want to be on the internet all day and on the telephone all day.
Fair enough. I'm not much of a phone person myself in a lot of ways, although this has been a very delightful conversation.
Yeah, thank you so much for asking really brilliant questions and for being open to having this subject. That just goes to show you where Vancouver's at again. So.
Well, I'm going to put a huge shout out as well for you for doing the work that you're doing and bringing it here and sharing it and doing a lot of healing. And as well as that, I'm going to give a huge shout out as well, which she's just making comments on our Facebook as we speak, to Dr. Alexina Mehta as well, who was the one who told me about you and the wonderful work that you do.
Oh, thanks, Alexina. She's actually one of my students. Okay. Brilliant woman. Vancouver's lucky to have her.
Yeah, she's a pretty amazing, a wonderful lady and an awesome naturopath as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And after this, what's next for you personally? Like books, workshops in a group setting, or anything else that you'd wanted to share with our listeners at this stage?
Yes, I belong to the camp of not rushing, of developing something, and I think it's great to master something and then slowly go at it. So this is coming out, and I do sit on the board of directors of the American Council of Vedic Astrologers, and I represent Canada and Mexico because I spent half my time in Mexico for the last 6 years. So, yes, there's books that I'm going to be writing, and I'm creating a course right now. So it's just expanding the knowledge, just to continue to expand the knowledge. And I'm not in a hurry. I like to enjoy every day, and I like to enjoy every single session and every interaction that I have with every single person. Mm-hmm. So it's quality. And my mission is not going to end. This is what I'm doing. So, yes, there's books and courses, and who knows what else comes after that. But as the North America wakes up, It's growing. The other thing that's really exciting and really unexpected is that India's catching on to me, because it's unusual to have a female Jyotishi in North America that takes this sort of modern perspective to this ancient wisdom. So I'm starting to get a lot of invitations from India. Go figure.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, super cool.
And very exciting. It just shows how the world's shifting on so many levels and what good work you do.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. I can sit on Skype. I do a lot of readings over Skype, and that I can be talking to a traditional man in northern India that's asking me about traditional questions and has a fairly good knowledge of Jyotisha. Mm-hmm. And then the next reading, I could be doing a financier out of London. It's that varied, so it's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
And I wish I was going to be there myself on Friday. I'm going to be at a fundraiser, so I won't be able to. And it's one of those things that sometimes I wish I could split myself into two, to be in two places at once. But I'm so grateful that I got to have you on the show and get to speak with you directly. And I hope this won't be my first time having you on the, well, be my first time, but hopefully not the last having you on the show.
Thank you, Caroline. And thank you for all your good work.
Thank you.
Thank you for your charity.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. And up next is Hans von Claus is Misery Hour. And he is a wonderful, 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 wonderful guy. He is going to be on very soon. And I can see him chatting in the other room right now. And I can't tell what type of shoes he's wearing, but all of you who know me very well know that I am a huge fan of Marion's shoes. He's got absolutely fantastic shoes. So until next week, when we are going to be back at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock, go and check out Vedic Astrology and Patty Moore. And I hope you have an absolutely amazing, amazing, amazing weekend. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Have a great night, everyone.